When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner, firstly by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club. Well, hello, Lloyd.
Well, hello, Rhys.
Yeah, it's another episode of Fit and Proper. You guessed it.
Yeah, I don't think they guessed it because they've clicked on...
Guessed it, buddy. Another episode of Fit and Proper. Could have been anything, but it's
No. It specifically has to be this. Otherwise, you'd probably wonder that Spotify and... I guess wherever you get your podcasts have bugged it up. So
Could have been anything, and yet here we are.
Welcome to this episode of Fit and Proper, which you absolutely clicked on, unexpected. How are you, Rhys?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, actually. Thanks, Lloyd. I've not been up to much, so I actually don't have a lot to share. Basically, I finished the spring leg of a tour, so now I'm in the in-between bit before it resumes, which resumes at the Edinburgh Fringe in August.
Perineum.
And then it continues after that. So I'm in between, and, you know, like anyone, I sort of panicked immediately. I did that thing, you get off tour where you're really busy. Then I suddenly had a few days in a row where I actually didn't have anything planned.
And
I panicked. I've completely forgotten how to enjoy myself, and so... despite having zero expertise and not even a great deal of interest, I texted you, got some advice, and then I bought a set of golf clubs. What I realised is you get to an age, which is 30 plus, and you realise, you know what I need? Some expensive hobbies.
Yes. And if you'd like to hear more about a man reaching 30 plus and having expensive hobbies, come to Baroque and Roll, where I essentially talk about my various midlife crises, where I'm going to get a hair transplant.
Spilt milk. Come to Spilt Milk. Also an excellent tour.
Golf, sports car, having the hair lasered off my shoulders, getting a hair transplant, 15-year-old, Porsche.
Thank God you said Porsche. My God, what the hell was that? You can't leave a pause there.
Look, it's called timing. It's called comic timing, mate. You think that's not the first time I've said that?
Is that a little snapshot of the sort of quality of material that's in the show, is it?
It's what I like to call a bit. Okay.
Still work in progress. Still a work in progress, the show.
It's still not written in my journal. We've got a guest on the podcast today.
His name is David Earle. Yeah. You might know him as Brian Gittins.
Yeah. Now, you might even not know him as Brian Gittins, but basically, if you've ever watched anything with Ricky Gervais in, Ricky absolutely loves David Earle and has put him in a number of things. He was first in Extras. So
yes,
in Extras, in the studio record for When the Whistle Blows, he was the guy that was shouting, do the catchphrase, do the catchphrase.
He's in the pub as well. He sees him in the pub.
Oh, he does see him
in
the pub,
and he's a super fan in the pub. He's also in Cemetery Junction, for example, as Brian Gittins. He's also in Afterlife.
Yes.
As Brian Gittins, his character that he would do live years ago.
Derek.
Crucially as well. He's in Derek, but crucially as well, there is an excellent Brian Gittins film that came out last year called Brian and Charles, about the robot he builds called Charles Petrescu. It is such a brilliant film.
Yeah.
If you've not seen it, we of course both recommend it. I think it's on some sort of streaming platform, isn't it?
I'll do it now. It is on Now TV or Apple TV or Amazon Prime. Like, so just basically, I should just search it. Nominated for a number of awards. It's really, truly brilliant.
And one of those awards is a BAFTA.
But I have to say that David Earle / Brian Gittins, real hero of mine. I've known David as a friend now for a number of years. But growing up, when I first started doing comedy, Brian Gittins, his character, was basically headlining a lot of these nights. And I just became obsessed with Brian Gittins.
Me too, yeah.
It's so,
so funny.
It's so original. And it doesn't do it that often, which is a shame. But just like one of a kind.
I think we should get into the episode and see what he does with the takeover.
I'm very excited. Today on Fit and Proper, we have an actor, a comedian, a podcaster, has at the moment five podcasts.
Five pods. Four public pods. He's got four public pods.
Four public pods, so one behind a paywall.
He's a paywall podcaster for a start. I mean, how many of us can say that?
One behind a paywall.
He's a fit a paywall podcast behind a paywall podcast poster. He's also a writer, I guess director as well, in a way. Football fan, very good cricketer.
Movie star.
Owner of a beach bummer. Please welcome to the podcast, David Earl. David Earl, ladies and gentlemen. We've never had applause on the podcast, actually, before. I don't know why I did that.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Real treat to have you on, David.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
We've been trying to get you on for ages. Are you fucking joking?
25 episodes. I imagine you got about 50 backloaded.
We got seven backloaded, but that's probably right there. But we have been trying to organise this for some while, and we finally, you know, got you on. You're a busy boy. The five podcasts, is that the majority of your day just gone from podcasting?
Do you know what? It's the only thing I enjoy, boys.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Don't like
not even say writing a hit film?
No, I don't enjoy the process. Don't enjoy. I love chatting to people and getting to know them. And
you will only do that from your house.
I like being at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really sort of replaced the sort of park bench podcast, hasn't it? You know, you don't have to go out there and just hope that a stranger sits down that you can just chat to. It?
1 minute I'm talking to...
Who are you talking to?
Have the first one ready, I'd say. If you're going to go from so-and-so to so-and-so, the first one's got to be in the top of your brain.
1 minute I'm talking to one bloke and the next I'm talking to another. It's lovely.
Well, what I would say is diversity, get a few more women in there, okay? If it's bloke to bloke.
Well, they never reply to the text, to be fair.
Well, nor do you. Nor do you. But we've got you on and you're here. I'm a huge fan. I'm not sure if I'm still the number one fan of the My New Football podcast. I'm about nine episodes behind at the moment.
It feels like it's a sort of a nine behind pod at the moment.
Yeah. So when you first set up My New Football Club with Joe at first, I was like, this is something I can absolutely get on board with. You starting to support a League Two football team. And I was there. I was one of the biggest flag wavers of the podcast, encouraging people to listen to it. Listening to it myself, trying to sort you guests out in Podjamond. Can we make play for Exeter last season? And it's just gone from strength to strength, and it is still one of my favourite podcasts, even though I am nine behind.
Well, I think it's flawed.
Okay, your podcast.
Yeah, because I've been there 18 months, 2 years now. And it's just, I feel like if I'm going, sort of picking up on things around the ground, I'm just being quirky for the sake of it. It's annoying me. So now I'm just a bloke watching a football team.
Yeah, so you've run dry, basically. You've used up all of your... They need to make a lot of changes for you to be able to notice new things. They have to be new.
Yeah, I'm trying to be genuine and go, bloody hell, loans. Never didn't know about loans. Like,
why not take a new route, like a new journey there, so you can talk about that?
Well, you know? Yeah, but then I feel like I'm being quirky because I'm doing the long way around to the ground.
Yeah.
Just get there and go home. Stop the pod.
This is quite niche for listeners that don't listen to your podcast, but I think the new journey is you going on the Big Bank, which is the standing room only, and you with your top off.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Again, okay. I think I'm doing it for the pod. I just want to go and watch a game now. It feels like a job.
A bit, going to watch Exeter City now feels like a dream.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm right, jotting down notes. I go, oh, I've got to say that on Sunday about this. I don't want to do that. I just want the game go home.
So is this? Have we got a proper exclusive here? That you know, which we're like plugging the podcast here, David, and you're basically saying, yeah, that's not.
Yeah, shit. Nah,
I've got three public podcasts and one behind a paywall.
Well, which is the one behind the paywall?
Huh?
Which is the one behind the paywall?
Oh. Keeping it close to your chest, are you? That'll get the customers in.
Never you mind.
David messaged me a few months back. I was like, hello, mate, will you come on the podcast on Sunday morning? I was like, yeah, fine. I'd been at a gig to like the early hours and got in at like 3 o'clock. God. And like you used to record at quite a reasonable time, and then he's like, "Oh, it's at like 9:20 on a Sunday morning."
You know why? Because I watched Barnsley's podcast, and I nicked their idea.
Oh, really? That's fine. They probably nicked it from someone as well.
Yeah, so they do theirs about 9 o'clock on a Sunday. I thought that's really cozy. You get up, and then I realised actually no one wants to watch a podcast at nine. But that's you know, and also I've realised. When you're reviewing a game, if it's 48 hours after the game, no one cares. They've moved on to the next game. Mm.
I think you know, straight after, there's too much raw emotion and you can call people names that you won't want to call them. Yeah. The next day, after 10, fine. Do you know what I mean? The dust has settled. You've had a couple of shandies. But what I was getting at is the fact that David asked me on there. In previous times, it's always been just on Zoom. And this one was live recorded onto some weird little platform that was then going onto YouTube. I was in bed, and luckily I had a top on.
Yeah, you look.
Go on.
You look tired.
Yeah. I'd been driving till 2-3 in the morning.
All right.
And I was like, well, I'll just do this. I'll just do this from bed. And then he was like,
I thought you did well. I thought people loved your performance on the pod.
And it was going out live, and you had no idea it was going out live. At what point during the record did you clock that you were getting some mean comments?
Oh, no, it was when David, after about 20 seconds, was like, you know, this is live. I was like, no, it's not. He was like, yeah. I was like, it's never been live before. Oh, yeah, we changed the format. I was like, yeah. I'm in bed. I was like, oh, my God.
Blame the Barnsley boys.
Blame the Barnsley boys. That's his motto. So this is, we need to get into the nitty gritty. You are a football fan. You currently support Exeter City. But you haven't always supported Exeter City, though, have you, David?
Man United.
You still support Manchester United?
Very much so.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
But then you went local.
I went local, and is it like an experiment? See if I could support another team, and I can, and I like them, and I think I enjoy them.
But childhood, Man United, boyhood Man United fan.
Yeah. Yeah. 1983.
Why is that?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I watched them play Brighton in the FA Cup final and I thought whoever wins this, I'll support them for the rest of my life. Man United won.
Oh, that's a very noble way to support a team, isn't it? Whoever wins, whoever's the best.
And where were you growing up at the time, David?
I was growing up in a little village called Smallfield in Surrey.
Yeah,
sort of between Crawley and Hawley, and it's like a shithole now.
So quite close to Brighton.
Yeah.
Quite close. Yeah. I'm just saying closer than.
Yeah, I was seven. I didn't know Brighton from my elbow.
Yeah, I know. And then because I've listened to a lot of your podcasts. You know, being a big fan of yours, but. You supported Manchester United throughout your whole life, but hadn't been to that many games.
Been to three. I went to watch Crawley in the FA Cup. I took my boy up about 3 years ago to watch the final game of the season against Cardiff.
Yeah.
And that was it. But then I got invited up this season to hospitality.
What?
Oh, yes, please.
And I didn't know this, no.
Oh, listen to the pod.
Well, I'm 9 episodes behind, mate. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened? What game was that for?
That was Villa. We won 1-0 and got three tickets. Took two of my boys because one's too young. Went up to Old Trafford. I just felt $1 million. We were walking around Old Trafford. I was trying to find the door. I spoke to someone, said, oh, I've got this. I need door C3 or whatever. And I went, oh, no, that's C3's down there. So we turned around, walked down. Like, we've got a sort of bouncers, guys in suits. I thought, this is more like it. This is more. So they kind of check your pockets. And so we go up and round the corner, it just opens up to this beautiful restaurant with like a meat platter and cheeses. And it's wonderful.
And who invited you to the game?
Little tap of the nose again.
He doesn't like to reveal too much. It still surprises me, David, that you were, you know, so big in the podcast game when you insist on revealing no information at any time.
Yeah. No, I just someone got in touch with me. Listen.
you and again, just for listeners, I obviously know this, Reece know this, but you basically moved down to Devon, lifestyle choice, and you thought, right, well, I'm going to support a team. And much in the same way that Josh Widdicombe had to decide whether to support Torquay, Exeter or Plymouth, he decided to go to Plymouth. You put it out to your Twitter followers, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did a poll.
Who to support.
Yeah, and Exeter came out on top.
And
I love Exeter. I love it. Great choice.
I spent 4 years there, went to university there. It is my favourite city in the world. Like, even better than London, yeah. Even better than London. It's incredible. And I love it. And I used to love going to that ground. And Exeter at the time were in the conference and Grimsby Town were in League Two. And so I had some special memories. The Exeter City had the run in the FA Cup whilst I was there, where they played Manchester United twice, both at Old Trafford and St James's Park.
Yeah, Ronaldo played at St James's Park.
Ronaldo and Rooney played at St James's Park. It was insane.
Yeah.
But yes, I really love it. So when you were like, oh, I'm going to do this podcast and it's about Exeter City, I was like, this is absolutely brilliant.
But you know, I love it. I love the way it's run. I just, it feels like, you know, it's fan-owned, but I feel like there's a ceiling and I don't know where they can go.
Okay. Well, that is what this show is all about. You have an opportunity here because, hang on.
Yeah, breaking news just reaching us right now. That is that David Earl is now the new owner of Exeter City Football Club. We'll try and get more details on the deal as and when, but just to confirm, David Earl is now the new owner of Exeter City Football Club.
Wow. I mean, you talk about a glass ceiling and then you come in with a hammer.
Now, David, how much did it set you back? You were buying it obviously off the fans. It's fan owned, as you say, supporters trust. So arguably it'd be quite an unpopular move, right? The fans presumably quite like owning.
There are some fans out there who go, come on,
let's be serious.
David. And it cost me loads. Absolutely loads.
But
really,
you've got five podcasts, one behind the paywall. Yeah, thank you very much.
Is that all ad revenue that funded that?
That's it, behind the paywall. The pods paid for it. And it cost me a fair whack as it goes.
No, but
you had to pay all the fans individually, didn't you? Everyone in the supporters.
I'm not gonna tell you the ins and outs, but pretty penny.
So, David, you want to get rid of this ceiling. What are your goals then? Is it to get to the very top? Are you trying to get to the Premier League, get into Europe? Is that the long term plan?
So I wrote this down, and then it sort of spiraled. But I want to be the best in the world. I wrote that first.
Good to have to find that to remember that. That wasn't still in the brain. You had to find the notes.
Yeah. I want to be the best in the world, except I sort of don't, because I experienced it with Man United when they won the treble and I felt empty.
Wow.
And so I still don't care. And it sort of reminded me that everything is meaningless.
Is that really how you've... So,
yeah.
So you watched... How old were you when United won the treble?
24.
And you didn't feel a thing?
Oh, when we won, I was like... Listen, I was like Johnny Wilkerson when he hit the kick for the World Cup. He said it was his lowest moment.
Did he
say that?
Yeah.
When are you misremembering? Did he say highest moment? Are you thinking the wrong one?
He said it was his lowest moment. He'd been training to this one moment, and he did it, and he couldn't have felt lower.
I can't even begin to believe this.
I've never heard this, which makes me think that it's probably on your paywall podcast.
Me and Johnny. Low moments.
Low moments.
His lowest moment was the pinnacle of human achievement. And you felt the same when United won the treble.
United won the treble, I didn't watch football for another 10 years. It completely... Listen, if we're going to go there, we'll go there, boys.
Okay.
When I made the film last year, I never really wanted to make a film, but I made the film. I thought, shit, that sounded like a twat. I've sort of done everything that I wanted to have a go at. A bit of writing, a bit of stand-up, did Edinburgh, little tour, did a film. I felt utterly empty. Next question. So,
have you been a guest on talk show? Doesn't sound like it. Have you missed? Well, I just missed off your list, you know.
That's true.
Have you done Jonathan Ross, and is this how you did it? Next question, Jonathan.
I would have fucking hell. I'd unravel on Rossi.
I'd love to see it, though. Jonathan, I feel like shit. Next.
When I watched the treble, when we got the treble, it was amazing. And then that goal went in. It was like, great. And then, where do we go now?
I know what you're saying, because once you've achieved it all, you've sort of completed football, haven't you? So it's like you're not going to, you don't immediately go and play a video game again that you've already completed the story of. No. So it's like it loses so much fun because you've done the story. So it's kind of, I get that feeling might feel like that. I've never experienced it myself. We've done it. What more is there? We've won everything. I've seen us do it all. So now it can only get worse.
Wilkinson said,
okay,
when he climbed to the top of the mountain, and there was nothing there.
I mean, so he's so much more poetic than I've given him credit for.
You know, he's good actually. He's good.
So obviously you don't want to climb to the top of the mountain. Do you just?
Well, I sort of do though. So
okay, cool.
Battling, tug of war.
So I guess you want to climb to the mountain, but have people pulling you back. So I guess you...
I actually feel like I need to talk to someone before I take over. I know I've taken over Exeter now, but I should have spoken to someone before and said, why do I want to take over Exeter? And they would have said, well, you ask yourself that. Why do you want to take over?
Like a therapist.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just a podcast, mate.
So she might have, it's a she in my head, she might say, not a good enough reason.
Right.
Not a good enough reason. But I haven't done that, so I've taken over. So I'm hoping I don't, if I do achieve success with Exeter, I'm just hoping I don't feel that.
Excuse me for potentially overstepping here, but what it sounds like to me is that you, because Exeter haven't got to the top of the mountain before, you want to climb this mountain with Exeter and give them the Man United treble treatment. And then once you get to the top of the mountain, you individually want to jump off it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting from this. So you're done. You do it and then you're out.
I'm out.
Straight out.
Done it again. I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think that Exeter City can have some really good times flirting between League One and the Championship. Base camp.
I think that now. Do you know what? I was even thinking, if we're bottom of League One, having a bit of a relegation battle, fantastic.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I just want to feel something.
What are the first things that you're going to be doing at Exeter City as the new owner of the Grecians?
Get a manager in.
Yeah. who are you getting in?
I've written here... So when I get sent questions before, I've put stress on me.
Okay.
So just get that out in the open. I've put here, get a manager in that I get on with.
Right, okay. Thinking out loud, shortlist-wise.
So it's not awkward when we see one another and we like each other. And same way when you meet a stranger and you get on and you go, oh, I could be your friend.
So do you want them to be this to be a professional football manager or just someone that you're mates with?
Oh, yeah, he's got to know his way around a football pitch. But more than anything, I want to enjoy being in a room with him. Otherwise, he's out.
On instinct, of the current crop of the top managers in the world,
Ten Hag.
Who do you reckon you'd get on with him? Is that just because he's Man United or do you think you'd actually get on?
I just think he knows more than any other manager in the Premier. And he seems like a lovely man. Him in interviews, very relaxed. But he's no nonsense.
Yeah. I could see you two going out for a lovely dinner together.
I can.
Yeah.
I think he's great. He's I was sat behind at Old Trafford just watching him more than the game.
Do you know if he's watched any of your stuff?
Yes, he has.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, he's watched my blaps.
No way. Do you know that?
He's watched my black.
That is such a niche reference.
The idea of him coming up to you in hospitality, finding you to say, I thought you were coming. My God, that combo.
Yeah.
I've watched your Channel 4 blaps. One of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah. He loves part two of the blaps.
I think if they're online, listeners.
That's what Lloyd was going to say. He was going to say, if they're online, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Don't go and watch those. Trust me.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
So you can, again, you have been quite friendly with a few of the Exeter City managers. You know what I mean? So Gary's a fan.
I've got something to say here. Cool. This is not. Well, I hope you like it. Last game of the season. Me and my boy, I took my boy down to the edge of the football pitch and all the players for 2.5 hours going all the way around. Now, I love this. Signing.
Lovely.
Selfies. So I'm waiting there and Pierce Sweeney. Do you know Pierce Sweeney?
I know of him. I don't know him personally, but no, I know him from the pod as well.
So he's sort of doing signing. He looks up. Hey, David. Oh, hi. He knew me.
That's big.
From the podcast.
But he's been on the podcast.
Been on the podcast. I've actually got a little WhatsApp with him.
Wow.
But the fact that a footballer knew me,
yeah.
You must have that loads, don't you?
I went on holiday with Grimsby Town's midfield maestro Harry Clifton the other week. But
what?
Yeah, we were just on a bed together. He used my name to get a cabana instead of a lounger. Sure, not a big deal. Did we get 10% off the bill? Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Shit.
Using your name?
Yeah. In Dubai at blah blah, where my gig was at, which then subsequently got cancelled 3 days later. But let's not talk about that. Still got paid. So yeah.
Do you ever relax with Harry Clifton?
Oh, big time.
Do relax, some would
say. Do relax.
Not many people I would get my hairy shoulders out for, but Harry Clifton's absolutely one of them. So,
but you, yeah, Lloyd, you're mates with a few goalies, aren't you?
Yeah.
You got Paul Robinson's number?
Yeah. If
Is that correct?
If you were to look in my phone book, contacts.
God, I bet you got some biggies.
Just starting from the top.
Right, I'll read them out. Aaron Downs.
Oh, Aaron Downs used to be Cheltenham and Torquay. You know, the grey-haired guy.
Aaron Ramsdale's.
Oh, yeah,
Ramsdale next on the list.
Yeah. Then David Akers. Akers.
Okay, if you've got him, ring him.
And then what was next, Lloyd? Alcoholics Anonymous.
No, I don't think I'm going to ring him. We've only got
We can all type the name Aaron Ramsdale into our contacts.
Okay.
With no proof of who it is.
Well, bring him.
Let me read you out his number and see if it is.
Okay,
the
07.
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, friends with a few goalkeepers, yeah, just because I have there's a little goalkeeping community.
You never relax with them? Because I don't think I could ever relax.
Paul Robinson locked me and Rob Beckett in the back of his Range Rover once. So I'll let you know.
So you tell me, is that relaxing?
I'll let you know. Is it relaxing?
Yes, it is.
You were kidnapped by Paul Robinson. I was pretty relaxed about it.
In the Yorkshire town of Harrogate. I was pretty relaxed about it, yeah.
Have you been to their houses?
I've been to Paul's, yeah. Yeah.
Why are you giving a big one?
I'm not giving the big one.
Just be normal and say, yeah, get excited.
I've been to Paul's. He's got a lovely house in Yorkshire.
Speak to him about that little blunder.
No, I speak to him a lot about Grimsby Town beating Tottenham Hotspur 1-0 in the Carling Cup and him being in goal. And then he sent me a message, I think after the Southampton game, was being like, can you stop fucking mentioning the Tottenham game? Can you stop mentioning this fucking Tottenham game now? You've got something else to wang on about. I was like, obviously not, no. That Tottenham squad was infinitely better than the Southampton team that we knocked out in the FA Cup. No offence.
Well, listen, Lloyd.
Come on.
That result has been brought up in this podcast on a minimum of every episode, and somehow more than that.
Jean-Paul Kamada-Makalala in the 89th minute.
We're talking about Exeter here. We're talking about how Eric Ten Hag is your manager because you get with him.
So I was stood at the side of the pitch with my boy, Gary Caldwell came round, the manager.
Mm.
So he comes round to me, goes, "Oh, hi."
Do the accent.
Huh?
Do the accent.
Oh, hi. No, I'm not doing that. hi. How's the podcast going? Yeah. Still enjoy it. Yeah. And I said, Gary, could you just have a little chat with my son about football and what you got to do to get to the top? Just a little. And he went, yeah, I'll do that. And he got down. He went, you like football? Where'd you play? If you want to get to the top, you just got to try. You just got to put the work in. It's hard work. I'll put it in.
Beautiful. It's lovely. Beautiful. I felt like I was your boy in that moment.
My 7-year-old boy's just
nodded.
And then the next day he said, I don't want to play football anymore.
I'm out.
I'm done with that.
Yeah. That was a lovely.
Get me a dartboard. Something I have to try.
Yeah.
He played for Celtic, Gary Caldwell.
Gary Caldwell played against prime Barcelona.
Oh, did he?
With Thierry Henry, Ronaldinho, Messi. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the score?
Don't know.
Oh, okay, so you've got Eric Ten Hag as your manager.
Or Gary. Bit of both.
To be fair to me, look, I'm not sure if Gary would take an assistant to Ten Hag. But for me, that's a lovely little pairing.
It is, isn't it? It's a lovely little pairing.
And yeah. I reckon he'd take it. When he looks at the ambition of the club, the ceiling you're trying to break through, where you're trying to get to, does the phrase top of the mountain mean anything to you? I think suddenly he's looking at, I've got an opportunity here.
Also, yeah. I'm envisioning Gary and Eric at this in the technical area, but I'm also envisioning you three going out for dinner and having a lovely time, which is paramount to this.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah, it's paramount. I think.
I also thought, what about a tiny manager?
Tiny?
As in tinsy. Tinsy. Small. Like really small, like Stuart Little.
Okay, yeah.
And what's the thought process behind that? Is there one?
No, just to be a little bit quirky.
Yeah. Give you something to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
Isn't our manager small? So Grimsby Town, we've got Paul Hurst as our manager, and he is not a large man.
He's talking borrowers.
He's
I am talking borrowers.
And you could have, if they're that small, you could have loads of them. You could have 30 managers in there. Technical area, you know, you wouldn't even notice.
Yeah. That's quite a nice little idea.
So you're getting the tactical nous of 30 different small people.
Surely. Running around in that little box, that tactic, was it? Yeah.
Are they going to be struggling to sort of see the gap? You know how some people say that it's not even a good vantage
point? It's got legs, a little tiny manager. It's got legs, isn't it, this?
A 6-foot manager often will sit in the stand because it's a better view of the pitch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want to be at eye level. How is a tiny little tinsy wincy manager going to fare looking at the tactics of the game the way it's going when the ball to them is like a planet?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Don't know how it's going to work.
I've got an idea, if you don't mind. Much in the same way they use the spider cam at football matches, you have essentially spider harness in the technical area, goes and then just pulls them straight up.
Yeah,
And they can use the remote themselves, and then basically they'll be on in the technical area, and then they go, actually, I wouldn't mind a better view here.
Yeah, bungee cord,
and he's there. A few people in the upper stand.
You need 30 of them.
Potentially. But then also, what you got there? You've got part football, part Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, that's nice.
Who's laughing now?
Seeing all them. Not floating around in midair, but sort of hanging there.
You could get see-through wires so that it looks like they're floating. Yeah. Add a bit of magic to proceedings.
Yeah. I'm quite glad I came up with the tiny.
So now, okay, decision is, do you want Ten Hag or do you want all the tiny lads?
I'm going tiny lads.
Tiny lads.
Yeah, just for a bit of fun.
How big are the players?
Normal size.
Yeah, normal size.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tiny lads.
How do you think that's going to fare? Sorry, just how do you think that's going to fare in terms of sort of the players showing the manager respect? It's going to be a struggle, isn't it? Arguably, the authority. What's going to happen with the authority?
Go back to Gary Caldwell.
Yeah. I love this. Going, we're going to go to the top of the mountain. Actually, I wouldn't mind middle of the mountain. We're going to have Ten Hag. Do you know what? As the new owner of Exeter City, I'm going to try and maybe get like mid-table League One, and I'm going to keep Gary Caldwell in.
Yeah, just keep it as it is. It's fine as
just
it is.
Just keep it as it is. It's called Exeter City. We're not going to change the stadium. The sponsor is still going to be Carpet Right. Good night. Cheers. See you later.
God. Okay.
We've got receipts for these bungee strings. Are you keeping Exeter City, St. James Park?
I get frustrated with it, to be honest with you. I mean, listen, I've only been there 2 years. I haven't witnessed many matches or any historical moments or that many. So I'm not as connected to the.
You got promoted.
What?
You got promoted.
I just said not that many. I've experienced one.
In the 2 years you've been going, you've experienced a promotion, and it means nothing to you.
It also, it's one and a half seasons as well.
Yeah, you are Johnny Wilkinson through and through. You are
honestly right. When we got, because I turned up in the October, and I think there were sort of six games unbeaten. A lot of them were draws, but I was like, oh, all right, nice little setup we got here. And then for the next 8-9 games. Unbeaten again. So I think they went sort of 16, 17 games when I first turned up. It's like, this is easy. And then they, you know, eventually, I can't remember who we were playing, it was Barrow. I think we had to get a park, I can't remember now, but we got promoted at home. Fucking hell, everyone went nuts.
Was it a Tuesday night game, wasn't it? Was it a Tuesday night
game? Yeah, it was amazing, but it was the first time I've been to Exeter. So I was like,
next. Yeah, well, a bit whatever.
I was. I felt a bit like, yeah, all right, go over the top. Let's get into League One. Let's keep climbing.
Are you going to keep the St. James Park? I mean, I love it. It's a great stadium, right in the slap bang of student accommodation and student streets.
I am going to keep it, but I want it to be bigger, so it's got to go up.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Keep going up.
Yeah, keep going up. I like that. There's
any interest in going for becoming the tallest stadium in the world?
Yeah, because I mean, I've seen some of the stadiums that are kind of on the outskirts of towns, like by motorways.
Oh, awful,
horrendous. So I like the walk through the streets. So we've got to stay there, but we've absolutely got to get bigger, and we've got to close those gaps up somehow.
But how about the club crest? The badge as it stands. You want to keep that?
I've gone quirky.
Okay.
Millipede.
Okay. Okay. Why is any reason?
No, it's just the first thing I thought of. And then I went and made breakfast. I came back and went, oh, fucking hell, but millipede.
Like it's an exam.
and you've written it in pen. Well,
oh my God! Like you've got to have an exam.
I've got to work with it now. I'm in now. I've got to work with it.
Well, in which case, David, I think you should go with all the tiny managers because then you've got a branding image of all these tiny little legs running
and
the club.
I thought I'd only employ. I'm going with a millipede. 50 people.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. 100 legs.
Whole club, including the team, including the players.
What's that?
Including the players.
Yeah.
50 people.
Only 50 people will be employed at the club. And I read here, Millipede's back is covered by hardened plates called tergites, but its underside is soft and vulnerable. And that'll be like my team.
Playing style.
Hard on the pitch, lovely off it.
Lovely off the pitch. Oh, that's what they say about the crazy gang. But a lovely bunch of guys in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what the crest and back.
What's the mascot? What's the Exeter mascot?
At the moment.
Yeah.
Lion.
Is it Lion? Oh, yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a male and a female. And I shook his hand actually last game of the season.
Poor.
Poor.
Be fair to him.
Yeah.
He shook his paw.
Yeah. I honestly thought you were going, as in like, that's a poor anecdote. Like,
poor. Boring.
Boring.
Grecian and Lexi the Lions.
Yeah.
And are you keeping the Lions or are you switching to more Millipede? Millipede, yeah. Now, let me ask you this, David, actually. This is crucial.
All right.
Now, that lion, as you know, that lion mascot,
yeah.
He walks around like a man. He walks on his hind legs, if it's a lion, right? Rather than going around on all fours. Millipede, what are you thinking here? Hind legs carrying all the rest of this long, disgusting creature? Or does it scuttle around like an actual millipede?
Yeah, you could get one person to do it and just have it built so that... Oh, no, I don't know. The legs will just drag behind. You need 50 people in there. Don't you?
Is that all the people at the club?
Sorry. So you're employing 50 people and they're all the mascot?
Yeah, everyone gets involved on a Saturday.
So basically, between 2:45 and 3:05, there's no Twitter updates. No one's taking any money on the turnstiles. The physio's just hoping.
There's no time for the players to warm up. The team talk can't happen. It happens inside the costume and all the tactics. Catering's all over the place. People are serving themselves, buffet.
Oh, fucking hell. It's only 15 minutes.
It's only 15 minutes.
And we're back to work.
Yeah, okay. So you just run around, scuttle around for a little bit, and then you get back to business.
How long that'll be? The creature going around the edge of the pitch. Fucking hell, it's disgusting.
I love all the anecdotes people will tell. Yeah, I shook his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that take?
I shook his hands. Yeah, yeah. Fucking hell. Okay.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Fine. So does that mean you're changing the nickname from the Grecians to something else?
The Peedies.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
You don't envisage any issues with that nickname
whatsoever. No, just about going to get away with that one.
The Peedies.
Yeah.
We've got the Peedies on Tuesday night. What? Peedies away.
Oh, God.
Peedies at home.
Do you have a youth team?
Oh yeah.
Okay, hold on just a bit.
Mate, oh yeah.
Very good youth team. They've Ethan Ampadu, I'm not sure if you've heard of him.
Yeah.
Ollie Watkins.
Well.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
One of the first podcasts that David did, he brought me on. I was kind of like helping give a little bit of information. I was like, you know, I was like, Ethan Ampadu? And they was, oh, yeah, I've heard of him. And then basically he went, oh, and some guy, Ollie Watkins. Like, yeah. Fucking some guy, Ollie Watkins.
Some guy, England international Ollie Watkins.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that, his name.
But yeah, so they've got a youth setup. So, I mean, the PD's academy. PD's
under 17s. It's good to hear. It's good to hear.
Exeter City famously play in red and white stripes. Have done for, I think, a number of years. What's happening with that? Are you keeping that or?
Well, I've got sort of got semi-serious here. Okay.
You can put some music behind that.
I like Marseille's, the Chris Waddle era.
Chris
and Jean-Pierre Papin.
Oh, hang on.
Am I right? I think the white and light
blue sleeves.
Is that the Panasonic kit? Or am I in the wrong?
Oh, that's lovely. That is lovely.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. That's very nice, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's not as good as I remember, actually.
Do you feel low? Do you feel nothing looking at it?
Yeah, I'm sort of feeling numb.
Right.
So I like when you see a football team and it's mainly white. White socks, white boots, white shorts, white tie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who plays in all white?
Well, Spurs Tottenham Hotspur
have a new all white kit this season.
Do they?
They don't.
Blue shorts, Swansea.
Yeah, no, is that maybe I don't like it. Maybe it's the dark blue I don't
Leeds,
like.
Leeds, Leeds United.
Yeah, I don't like all white. I do not like all white.
Real Madrid.
Yeah, I'm not bothered about that either. So I don't like all white.
Olympic Lyonnais, Olympic Marseille, LA Galaxy.
I like Atletico Madrid.
Thank you.
Quite like that.
Right, well, they basically play in the same kit that Exeter play in at the moment.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah, they do. So it's that kit with Gary Caldwell.
I love that. We've gone absolutely around the houses.
So, yeah, so you're gonna keep the kit, effectively?
You're going to keep the kit with a couple of tweakies. We're going to tweak.
Who's the sponsor across the middle?
Yeah, sponsor's a big one.
Oh, sponsor.
Who is it at the moment? It was Carpet Right last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd have to be like an insect zoo or something. Like a, I don't know what you call it, an insect zoo.
I'm not sure. Is there an insect zoo? Flybe at the moment. Is it Flybe? No, it's not Flybe.
The Bug Farm. Yeah.
Hey, that's an insect zoo, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Sort of. Yeah, the Bug Farm. Don't know where they are.
There's another one at London Zoo called Tiny Giants.
Okay.
Now, that would suit the branding a little bit if you've got your managers.
Well, it's Gary, to be honest with you.
It is going to be Gary in the end.
And he is a giant, to be fair.
Bugtopia? Yeah.
Can we go with the Bug Farm?
Yeah, you're allowed. Yeah, I'm just presenting some other options. So it's up to you. It's absolutely up to you.
I thought I made that clear. Farm, Lower Hardwood Farm, St David's, Pembrokeshire. SA 62, 6B.
Okay,
the actual kit provider, I think it's Joma.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I like Adidas.
Yeah. Yeah, fine.
But I think Adidas are our new... I think they're doing the new kit. I like Adidas.
Yeah.
God, it's really similar to what they're going to... The team next year.
Bug Farm.
Apart from Carpet Right and Bug Farm, it's basically the same side.
Yeah, quite similar. I mean, we've got to round the houses to get to this. I mean, they are now called the Pedies. And we've just had to put down two lions.
Yeah.
There's only a staff of 58 now, but I think apart from that, everyone will be on board with it. When you obviously you've talked about this on your podcast about what you get, often you'll have a pie or a cider. Refreshments at St James's Park. Are you trying to better them? Are you trying to worsen them? What's
Well, I love just my little experiences in the Old Trafford and the Heritage Lounge at Exeter. So I just try and I want everyone to experience that.
So cheese full, boards, meat platters, that sort of stuff.
Love all that.
Cheese and meat. Keto for everyone.
Charcuterie.
I had a woman who got out like a little curry out of a little, that she was sat next to me in the stand. She got out this proper little curry and sort of knife and fork. I like that, like a little picnic.
Yeah.
I know everyone sort of looks down their nose and, oh, fucking hell, mate. Fuck off. Well, fuck off.
Fair enough. It's your club. You can do what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If she wants to bring a curry, she can bring a curry.
No, I like having little, a picnic's stupid, but having little
spread
snacks with you, little snacks and drinkies.
Look, I think this is...
Do you know what? How much is a bag of boiled sweets? Because I really like that touch at Old Trafford.
Yeah, so you want to be handing them out.
Yeah. So what's that, a quid? 50p? So what's that, $4,000 Saturday?
Everyone you're building them. You are building up, remember, so the capacity will be a bit bigger.
Yeah, so we've got 20,000 in there. Okay, so what's that?
Right. Well, I haven't bought boiled sweets since I was a kid. So, I mean, inflation's going to make me look a schmuck here.
I like how sort of cozy it was that you've got a little bag of sweets with you when you sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. And also, like, because Exeter playing red and white, there's so much scope for having little red and white sweets in there. Almost like you're eating like a PD.
A PD sweet.
Yeah. Anyone for a PD?
Who wants to suck off a PD?
Come on. The current club motto, I'm sure you're aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Semper Fidelis.
Oh, which I knew that.
Translates as I'm sure you're aware.
Let's keep doing it.
It translates as ever faithful. Okay. Which is the same thing as let's keep doing it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want to keep that? I don't get the impression you would want to keep that.
I don't think anyone cares, do they?
No.
I haven't given it a second thought.
Well, I think we're, 30 episodes into this podcast format.
Trying to make a format here, mate.
No, no, but it's like
when you go to a club, you're not looking around.
But to be fair, no one's, it actually doesn't matter.
It's the motto. They haven't plastered the motto everywhere. It's plastered everywhere at Spurs.
Is it?
What does it mean?
It's always eighth.
It's the first one is, came eighth for the first time in years this year. Okay, actually, Lloyd, normally we're fourth or fifth. Yeah. We have, is the thing. But I'm telling you now, our recycling bins inside the stadium, they say to care is to do.
Right.
The branding is everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't want any of that.
If you got rid of it, you wouldn't think twice, would you?
God, no.
God, no.
God, no.
No motto.
I don't think so. Don't think it's, don't know.
It's not necessary, is it? The players aren't
It's meaning.
Reading it before they go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, established, no motto, thank you. Atletico Madrid's kit, which is the same as ours. Inconclusive manager chat. We're going to have some boiled sweets. And we're called the PDs. And the mascot's a big millipede. 50 people work for us. They're all in the costume.
Yeah.
And they're popping off to hand out boiled sweets just before the game as well. And then they go and play
boiled
a little
bit. Boiled PDs, thank you.
Yeah. Now, as you definitely will know, it's not us who decide whether you're fit and proper to run a football club, David. It's the supercomputer analyzes the data that you've input into it and decides. Before it does that, though, it does like to throw up some random scenarios, the supercomputer, to see how you would deal with it, in crunch time, under the cosh. It's thrown up this one that Lloyd will talk you through now, and we'll see how you get on.
Wow.
Let me just see. Oh, it's just popped up here now. Yeah, okay, David Earl. Your manager, Gary Caldwell, says in a podcast that he actually doesn't like the area of Exeter, and he cites it as being too middle class and fuddy-duddy with far too many art students knocking about, and it's not earthy enough for him. He says he actually likes to spend the majority of his time in the port city of Plymouth, just down the Devon Expressway, and has even bought a lovely townhouse on the Grand Parade, 6 floors with a lovely view over the water. He goes on to say that he likes to spend as little time as possible in Exeter, and has even contemplated either doing training sessions on Zoom or relocating the training ground to Trago Mills. How do you react to that?
Well, genuinely, I'd be flummoxed.
I mean, you did just bow your head then, as if that actually...
yeah. As if it's all come crumbling down for you. It was going so well. And then at the last...
And a podcast.
Yeah. He's gone on a Plymouth podcast.
He also wants out.
No, he says he loves... I'm only paraphrasing what the supercomputer's here. He loves managing Exeter City, just can't stand the city, doesn't want to be a part of it. He loves away games.
Right.
And that might be because he is one of the 50 people in the costume when he's supposed to be giving a team talk. I don't know. You know what I mean?
I'm really trying to imagine, because I like Gary.
Well, you go for dinner with him quite a lot.
Well, I'd ring him up and go, what? Why would you say that on a pod? And then
just see what he says.
Pod. Well, why don't we?
Let me work with you, buddy.
I was going to say we can reenact that. We can act out the scenario for you now. Lloyd will be Gary.
All right.
Okay.
Lloyd will be Gary, and you phone him up and you ask him why he'd say that.
Oh, all right, David. How's it going?
Huh?
All right, David. How's it going?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Just having a bit of a spot, something to eat. You know what I mean?
Right. Sorry to call you at this late hour.
That's all right, mate. We're friends.
A bit awkward, but I just listened to Low Moments with Johnny Wilkinson.
Right.
Have you heard it?
Well, I mean, I've not listened to it. It's behind a paywall.
Right, well, you were on it.
Right.
You were on it.
Right.
I don't know, it's just a bit awkward, really, because you were saying you don't like the area of Exeter. And how do you think that's going to come across to the Exeter fans? And I just think you've put me in a difficult situation here.
Aye, aye. And so you've listened to the podcast. You're one of the you pay for the podcast here.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Didn't think that that'd be right. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I just don't like Exeter.
What?
I don't like Exeter, David.
All right. Well,
the people are great to a point, but I just find it's not earthy. It's too like fucking. I mean, university.
You said that about being earthy. I don't know what you're going on about.
Well, like, it's not working class. It's a bit like, oh, look at right. me. I'm in a film.
Right.
So I just, you know.
All right. Well, you're on your own here, mate.
Well, you know, could we relocate the training ground to Trego Mills? Is that a problem?
Why, Trego Mills is more north. Why do you want to go up there?
I've not done my research on this chat.
No, you have. Did you think that was going closer to Plymouth?
Aye. How about we relocate it to Halden? Halden.
What?
On the A38, just off the A38. Buckfast. How about we relocate it to Buckfast Abbey? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
You know, I live about 5 minutes from Buckfast Abbey.
I know, you've had me around for dinner quite a few times.
Right. Do you know that, genuinely?
No, I didn't. I've just sung there. This is Lloyd speaking now. I've sung there quite a few times.
Yeah. You really sung there?
Oh, mate, hundreds of times.
Have you?
Yeah, I love it.
I could walk there in 3 mins.
What's that pub that I used to go to quite a lot?
Right, sorry, just to interject here. It was very nice to sit and watch that play out, but where it's going is I do not approve of podcast-wise. I mean, look, at first, David, I was incredibly impressed by your sort of management style as a boss.
Like?
You were just being, it was just the way you were doing it. I was like, yeah, that kind of, yeah, I've never really had a job, but that is how I imagine you'd be bollocked if you did have one.
Yeah.
You know, that is exactly how I imagined sort of like a Daniel Levy figure.
Yeah.
Have dressing down a manager.
The dark bridge.
It was perfect.
The dark just saying.
In. Oh, the dark bridge in. Lovely. Yeah.
But I did, and this goes back to the point, I did find that you, as a boss, were easily distracted.
By the Buckfast Abbey.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, your conflict resolution lacked the resolution.
Listen,
element.
I like my manager. You can't help it when you like someone.
It's okay. Well, look, we got a snapshot into how you would deal with it, so that all gets put into the supercomputer to decide whether or not you're fit and proper. And I think it's about time. It's time in the show we enter the data, wouldn't you say, Lloyd?
Yeah. Let me just press enter 1 second. Give me 2 seconds while it loads.
I'm afraid to say, David, it's judged you to be not fit and proper to run a football club.
What?
How do you feel about that?
Basically the same club.
Weirdly, sort of disappointed.
I think the computer thought you might be relieved.
Yeah, but who made that decision?
AI makes it with all the information that gets put in.
Supercomputer, mate, get used to it.
Supercomputer does it. So basically, what its issues are is
who has been fit and voted fit and proper?
Everyone else who's been on, but not everyone else went with the nickname the PDs. Not everyone else decided to overwork the staff to the point of you know, arguably slavery.
Yeah.
People, they weren't happy with that because you arguably don't have the wages to, it's like constant working hours for the staff.
I'm surprised. I thought it would have been a fit because it's essentially the same club.
Didn't have enough. I think it just felt, you know, little bits of indecision here and there went against you.
Yeah.
It was the manager issue. It felt like, is this going to be a managerial merry-go-round for you? Are they going to be constantly changing between, you know, the tiny and the normal sized? And that's going to be confusing, isn't it? So
I just wanted to be quirky for the pod.
It was unlucky. It's an unlucky result. Personally, I disagree with it. I think, you know, I think you'd be great.
Wait, one second. Trego Mills is actually still on the A38.
Yeah, but it's going north up to Exeter.
Yeah. But that's
it's not for me. It's south. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, thanks for coming on, mate. And and make sure to check out my new football club and Trego Mills. Yeah, for all your...
thanks for having me.
For all your needs.
Oh, bless you. Honestly, David, you've been great. Thanks for coming on. I look forward to coming back to Exeter City, both in real life and also in this. Life.
My God.
Well, you come on as well, Rich. Let's just...
Yeah, come on, Rich. Yes, come please. On my football club.
All right.
I would love to.
I'll get Naomi in touch.
Yeah, brilliant. You have to go on at 7:30 on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, and you have to be in bed and topless, right?
You have to be in bed and topless. Yeah. But luckily, me and Reese live together. We just recorded different rooms.
Yeah. Where are you, Reese, by the way? I like that.
I'm in my shed, my office, my shed office.
It's nice.
Shoffice.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah.
Me, just in my kitchen, but you've seen it 100 times before. So not a problem.
All right. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, guys.
I mean, that is exactly what I thought that episode would be.
I've got to say, Lloyd, I think we were like little school children in that episode. We were instantly very giggly. It was very clear that that was our hero, wasn't it? One of our heroes that we could just go, he's saying funny, silly things.
Also as well, like, look, don't get me wrong. I love making crowds laugh. I love making my friends laugh. If you make someone that you adore laugh, you're kind of going, oh, fuck it.
Well, he's got a big laugh as well. He's got a proper laugh, hasn't he?
And sometimes you kind of go, is this put on? But yeah,
thank you. If David, you're listening back,
he won't be listening. He's got five podcasts.
If you were putting it on, then much appreciated because it made us feel top of the world, top of the mountain.
Little children.
Oh, what an honor. What an honor. And what do you make of the supercomputer's verdict, Lloyd?
I thought that it was bullshit. I think he should have been given fit and proper. But clearly someone panicked. I'm not going to point any fingers.
I agreed with the supercomputer, actually.
Yeah, weird that.
I agreed with the supercomputer. I don't think it was fit and proper.
He was the same club, just called them Pedis. That's not a problem.
I don't know. I think if it's going to be the same, it was all over the place because the ambitions were to get to the top of the mountain, but he said there was a ceiling.
That's any normal football club.
I know, but if there's a ceiling and you want to get to the top, then you've got to come in and make some changes. There weren't enough changes.
There were changes.
I couldn't see enough changes. And actually, I didn't think the changes would benefit. I mean, the computer didn't think the changes would benefit.
Really tall stadium. Yes, please.
I did like that idea, especially. But I think if he'd stuck to the small managers, then he'd have got fit and proper.
Yeah, well, he didn't because some idiot in the supercomputer made an absolute foul choice.
Well, this is the problem with AI, and that's why I support the writer's strike. Now, thanks for listening, everyone. You know, the classics. Pop us a little 5 stars if you fancy.
Yeah.
Tell your mates.
Tell your family. Tell your open family and tell your family open.
Continue to get your submissions in for any teams you want us to sponsor.
Next year, we're going to have a fit and proper golf day, okay? Where all the money that you pay to play goes just back into our pockets. But we'll give you details on that next year.
Is that right? Wait, we're going to charge entry for a fit and proper golf day?
Of course, yeah. To walk around
we've got to start making some money from this somehow.
So thanks for listening. We love doing these and we love you listening.
Goodbye.
Is it goodbye?
Yeah.